Praise God. Amen. Let's get our Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12. And I'm going to simply lay a foundation tonight, and that'll be it. We'll come back and visit this through the weeks. Beginning at verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. And I just want to begin this tonight, and I want to talk about in defense of spiritual gifts, defense of the supernatural. Amen. I believe that it is necessary, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. Praise God. But why don't we just ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Father, we need you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we cannot do spiritual things without you. You are the Spirit. You are the Supreme Spirit. I pray, God, that you would help us here tonight. I pray, God, that revelation, enlightenment, guidance would come unto us, that you would open your word up unto us, God, and speak to us today. The utterance of the Holy Ghost would be made known. The will and the mind of the Spirit would be made known unto us. Help us tonight. Better us, O Lord Jesus, for the work of your kingdom. And we praise you and give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. What we are endeavoring to get into tonight is pretty much obsolete in many, many churches. Much of the things has been foregone. It's been forgotten. It is too quickly moved past. I think one of the reasons that things are so apt to disappear is because that we simply do not have time, in a sense. We have come to the conclusion, whether spoken or known, but we have programmed our services to a place that God doesn't have time to move, really, amongst us. We've got time for I don't have this in my notes. I really want to just try to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost and to work through this, but it's like we have God on a time clock. We've got God programmed into our lives. And God, you've got from this point to this point to operate, to move, and to speak to me. And if you don't, well, I've got other things to do. I've got places to be. I've got things to do. And so, God, you've got just this little window in my life. And I think that we miss so many things. I think that we miss blessings. from God. I believe that we miss direction from God. We miss the will of God, the mind of God, the Spirit. We miss all of these things because we're in too much of a hurry. Amen. We're in too much of a hurry. And if you think about these things, the things that we will endeavor to speak of and to talk about are things that was more prominent many, many years ago. And when I say many, many years ago, I'm going to just venture to say that probably in our grandparents or further day and age. And I know that there have been those that have hung on to the spiritual things and have endeavored to seek after them, to ask for them, and to push for them. And so that is the exception, not necessarily the rule. But when you begin to think about these things, you think about how that we're not so far removed. It's been a few years, but we've progressed an extremely far ways in a short amount of time, because it's not too far away and removed from us that they actually had horse and buggy that took them to church and stuff. I know that my dad passed away last year. He was 67 years of age, and he was taken to church on a horse and buggy, in a horse and buggy. So it's not that far removed. But when we think about these things, we are reminded of the old brush arbors, and we are reminded of that they tell us that it's maybe figure of speech or such, but they say that nobody got the Holy Ghost after 9 o'clock, you know, until after 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Nobody got the Holy Ghost until around midnight. In total reality, that wouldn't work in this generation now, would it? Because how many churches do you know that have church until 10 or 11 o'clock at night? No, you would just go home. And so if that were the case, so what I am saying is the window is narrowing, and we have programmed God into a place that, God, you have this amount of time to speak to me, and if you're not done, then I am, and I'm out. Amen. Praise God. And I want to be of the mindset that I want to hear from God, number one. But I don't want these things that we have talked about to become extinct amongst us. I don't want them to become just testimonies of yesteryears and the things that we just hear about in this day and time. But I want these to be things that we experience in this day and time. And so we've got to give ourselves to these things and to these ways. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so I feel like, to a great degree, that the church in general, now I'm not classifying this as us, I'm just saying the church in general has digressed from the spiritual word and the spiritual work of the Spirit. I've digressed so far away from that the stories that we hear now are really only just like fairy tales. Fairy tales. Praise God. And my wife and I were having a conversation today, and the subject about intercessory prayer, I brought the subject of intercessory prayer up. I said, you know what, you don't hear intercessory prayer in this day and age. And you know why? It's because nobody ever gets close enough to be beckoned into that door. We got too many things to do. We got an allotted amount of time. We've got just a small window. And intercessory prayer isn't just something that if you're not familiar with prayer, and I'm not talking about just knowing knowledge. I'm talking about experience. That if you're not locked in prayer, you're not just going to fall on your knees and go into intercessory prayer. In reality, it may happen, But for those that it does happen, I'm going to tell you that they probably have a constant prayer life. But people that don't have a constant prayer life and such, they'll probably never experience it. It'll just be a myth. It'll just be foreign. It'll just be, you know, something that we talk about, testimonies that we talk about. But nevertheless, it is these things that God has given the church to help us to defeat the spirits that we are up against. Amen. Praise God. And so I look into this, and let me just, I'm just shotgunning this tonight. I've got notes, but I already feel just from in a different little way and stuff. But let me just talk about Corinth for a little bit today and just tell you that with a population over 1.5 million people, at least half of them which were slaves, Corinth was one of the most prominent Greek cities of Paul's days. Intellectually arrogant, materially affluent, morally corrupt, and notoriously sensual. There were a few former Jews in the congregation, but most of the Gentiles, most of them were Gentiles and ex-pagans. And then I gleaned this from another commentary. It said one of the most accepted forms, listen to this, one of the most accepted forms of Corinthian religion was ecstasy. That's something that we know all about in this day and generation, but it was something that was prominent, or that it was called then, and which was supposed to be supernatural and very sensuous in ceremony. John MacArthur actually wrote this, and he said it involved communion with a deity through frenzied hypnotic chants ceremonies. Worshippers experienced semi-conscious euphoric feelings of oneness with the god or goddess. Often the ceremonies would be preceded by vigils and fastings, and would even include drunkenness, contemplation of sacred objects, whirling dances, fragrance, incense, chants, and other physical, psychological stimuli customarily were used to induce the ecstasy, which would be in the form of an out-of-body trance or an unrestrained sexual experience. These sexual ecstasies were common in many ancient religions and were much associated with Corinth, that the term Corinthianize meant to indulge in extreme sexual immorality. That's the world that Corinth was. That's the world that Paul was speaking to in the church that he was talking. And so you can imagine by thinking about this, you can imagine the spirits that were there. As a matter of fact, in the book of Corinthians, Paul had just heard of a situation, and he had written and judged the situation there in 1 Corinthians. He write back to him in 2 Corinthians, and he said, look, though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not apologize, because you needed to be sorry. You needed to repent. And the problem was that there was incest within the church. And so the world was creeping into the church, and Paul said, I don't need to be there to judge such things. I've only heard of this, and I am judging it, and this is what you need to do. You need to kick the fornicator out of the church. Well, in today's body language and stuff, that would just be mean. It would be mean-spirited. Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to work with that. You know what? Let's just work with the fornicator. Let's be patient with them. Let's not judge them too quickly. Let's give them time. Let's work some things out. And Paul is just saying, look, he said, I don't even need to be there, and I'm already judging it. And I'm just telling you that in the day and the age that we live in, we just could not deal with Pastor Paul. There's no way. There's no way. We just wouldn't put up with Pastor Paul. We would go find another church to go to and such. But this is the world that Paul is writing in. He's writing to a city. He's writing to an area that is highly populated and that has some very, very illicit actions and ways about them. And this is the place that there is a church that is trying to be planted. We could go back into Babylon, and we could talk about the evilness that was in Babylon and the idolatry that was in Babylon. Yet Peter, when he closed out his epistle, he said, the church that is in Babylon salutes you. And so It tells us that there is the great possibility of building a church in such a high evil-influenced area. And Paul is letting us know that one of the only ways that we're going to be effective in such a time is we've got to have a spiritualness about us. We've got to have the works of the supernatural about us. Amen. We've got to have spiritual gifts. And why would there be spiritual gifts? Why would God take the time to invest into the church and to give the church spiritual things and give the church spiritual tools to be able to work in such a climate if they were not going to be effective? And not just for that day and time, but even in our day and time, we can take out the word Corinth, and we can take out some of these other things, and we can put the United States of America, and we can put 2022 in some of these places, and we can see that this is the arena and the area that we live in, the time that we live in. There's some things that just have not changed. We are living in a very evil influenced world. We're living in a world where they are calling evil good and calling good evil. We're living in a world, amen, where courts and such are deciding what the laws are for the entire land. And I'm not against that. I appreciate America. But what I am against is when it bypasses the laws of God and it is tried to be forced upon the church, then there is the issue. Oh, but God looked down through all of this and he stated, I know exactly what the church is going to need for such a time as that. Praise God. I think that one of the other travesties that I began to read about and see in the readings and in the study and today and even yesterday is that in a general consensus, that the general opinion, even the theological opinion of this day and even back in the time when some of these commentaries were written, was that the gifts of the Spirit were in operation for the new church and are not necessary for this church, not necessary for this day and age. Many of them have wrote them off. Many of them have said and stated that they no longer exist, that they're no longer necessary. And the reason is that they are having to excuse and justify the lack of spiritual gifts in operation in the church. Amen. Because that they themselves, first of all, didn't have time for them. And second of all, they don't understand truth. Amen. They're not a part of the truth. And what we see that was done in the early church was 100% apostolic. Amen. And what they are trying to do is trying to reason these things, trying to understand these things from a false principle. Even when the Bible says, amen, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're not going to understand the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. Not going to be able to understand the reason, the why, the how for the gifts of the Spirit. But just because that we cannot necessarily understand them in the beginning doesn't mean that they cannot be understood. As a matter of fact, Paul writing, he said, now concerning his spiritual gifts, brethren, first of all, that's the first problem. They don't understand it because they're not spiritual. You cannot understand spiritual things with the carnal mind. You cannot understand the works of the Spirit, amen, with a natural mind. Amen. For the natural mind receiveth not the things that
are of God. And he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning these things. Ignorance and stupidity are two extremely opposite things. They both mean that you don't have an understanding. But ignorance simply means that you don't have enough information to process or to build an understanding. Stupidity means that even with the information, you would still never understand it. And Paul is saying, I don't want you to be without the information to have an understanding concerning spiritual gifts. There are some things that we may be ignorant of. There may be some things that God would have us to be ignorant of. But friend, it's not spiritual gifts. Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, as the Spirit of God moves upon him, amen, God is telling Paul, explain the gifts of the Spirit to the church. For it is the gifts of the Spirit that the church is going to need, amen, to be able to be effective in this day and age. Let's love the Lord. Praise God. And so we want to talk about the subject of the gifts. There was a truth that was to be applied. And concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you be ignorant. And then he went on with this fact. He said that you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto the dumb idols even as you were led. You lived in that world that was out there that we talked about that was in Corinth. The idolatry that was there. And he told them that you were Gentiles, carried away by the dumb idols. Many of these new Christians had been won to Christ from a background of raw paganism. We would see such things happening as Acts 16:16 concerning the slave girl that was following Paul and Silas around with a spirit of divination, in which Paul rebuked and commanded the spirit to come out of her. So they were familiar with these things. These things were not just, oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like that before. Amen. But it was like whatever God has, there was a copycat that was in the world. Amen. As the prophets or as the apostles began to operate, amen, there were other things that began to happen. And the spirits of divination began to come up. And through the discerning of spirits, Paul was able to discern the spirit that was in that young girl and able to rebuke and to command that spirit to come out of her. Amen. And she became freed from that spirit. And so they understood this in a way, a spiritual world, but they're not going to understand, amen, the things that were of God. And so there is a test that is to be applied, in that the Bible said no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. First of all, the first thing that we need to understand is, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, don't talk to me about spiritual gifts that you have. Amen, amen, amen. You're not going to have a spiritual gift if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. For somebody that doesn't have the Holy Ghost and says that they see things, amen, it's not of God. They hear things, it's not of God. Amen. They cannot profess and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, except by the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Ghost if you're going to be used in the operations of the gift of the Spirit. Praise God. One of the other litmus tests was that John wrote in his epistle in 1 John 4. And he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hello, this is exactly where that we are living. Amen. The devil knows how to manipulate the truth. Amen. He's not going to show you book, chapter, and verse where all of a sudden it's okay to snore snort cocaine. Amen. But he will twist the scriptures and he will take you slowly away from the church. I feel the Spirit of God here tonight. God is not only trying to help us as a church body, but God is trying, amen, to position us to be able to help a world that is locked and bound up by things. And the only thing that's going to be able to break them is the tools that God has given to the church for the edification of the church. Amen. We need to be able to try the spirits and see whether they are of God or not. There are false spirits that are in this world, amen, that are lurking to and fro and saying fornication is okay now. Fornication is still just as wrong today as it was back in Jesus' day, back in Moses' day. It was wrong, amen, just as wrong today as it was back when he put, amen, the Ten Commandments upon tables of stone. Amen, amen. Adultery is wrong today, amen, just as it was wrong, amen, when it was written by the finger of God upon the tables of stone. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Hallelujah. But common law marriage says that we don't need to obey the Bible. You just got to live together for a certain number of years and then you're okay. Hallelujah. It's going to take a work of the Spirit to penetrate such rock-hardened hearts and such evil-minded minds. Amen. People that have been raised in a generation that is messed up, and they're not going to understand why fornication is wrong, understand why that adultery is wrong. But there's got to be a work of the Spirit. There's got to be a moving of the Holy Ghost, a witness of the Spirit that is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart and penetrate the heart. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hear me loud and clear. I don't care what their face is. I don't care what their name is. I don't care what their position is. I don't care what their relationship is. When they go against the Bible, they are a false prophet. When they begin to say, amen, that the things that God called wrong are not wrong in this day and time, they are a liar. Amen, for the Bible says that if any man add to or take away from the word of God, their name would be taken out and they would be found to be a liar. Amen. Who is the father of all liars? It's the devil. Hello. You got to wake up. You got to understand the spirit that is talking to you. You got to have a discerning of spirits. Friend of mine, I'm way ahead of my notes right now, but we better pray that God would give us a spirit of discernment, for there are false prophets, grievous wolves that have crept into the church, amen, that are destroying the church from within, amen. And we've got to be stalwart, we've got to be rock strong, we've got to stand against the wiles of the devil and declare the word of God. We got to be willing to listen. We got to be willing to obey. Praise God. Praise God. Paul said, whether I or an angel of light come unto you preaching any other gospel than that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. Praise God. We've got to make sure. We've got to make sure that we buy the truth and sell it not. You got to buy into this truth. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You know what? If it costs you something, you'll value it and appreciate it a little bit more as well. Praise God. Amen. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now, already it is in the world. Praise God. The source of the spirits. Verses 4 through 6, chapter number 12, 1 Corinthians. Source of the spirits. We understand that they are differing distributions that differ in services and ministrations, differing varieties of operation, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. Amen. Praise God. Give me just a moment. I thought that I had written this down in my notes, but I guess I bypassed it. But I want to say it's in verse number 4. It said there are diversities of the spirit, but the same spirit, capital S, the same spirit. And then if you skip down to verse number, 6? Let's go down to verse 4, but the same spirit, verse number 6, but is the same God which worketh all in all. Amen. It's one and the same, one and the same. The source is God. The source is God. And then we look at the scope of it, and the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And this is found verses 7 through 11. And these worketh the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And this is so given to every man to profit with all. It is for the church to be able to profit, the church to be able to benefit from. Amen. We've got to see it. There are, in a sense, there are three types of gifts. I'm not teaching you anything new here tonight. I have all confidence and faith, amen, that Brother Wirth has spent many years working and building you in a spiritual sense, even concerning the spiritual gifts. And so we just keep bringing it back up, just like we preach baptism in Jesus' name in Acts 2:38. But there, the way that I see it is there are three different kinds of gifts. There is the gift of comprehension, which is revelation, the divine ability to know. It is a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Amen. The divine ability to know. There is the gifts of confirmation or the gifts of power, and that would be faith, gifts of healing, and the working of miracles, or in other words, this is the divine ability to act. And then there are the gifts of communication, which would be inspiration, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, or the divine ability to speak. So we have the divine ability to know, the divine ability to act, and the divine ability to speak. Praise God. And so God gave us these gifts unto us so that we might be able to profit. I'm not going to hold you much longer here tonight, just simply because there's such a long, long ways to go. And I'm going to basically just lay this foundation for tonight. We'll dig into it further on Wednesday night as we get into it. But we would see that there is an importance that is associated with the gifts of the Spirit. And I was praying in here not too long ago, and I guess it was on a church night praying, and I looked up at our vision statement, and it said that there is a common goal, a common mission, a common vision, flowing from a common dream. Only as hearts and hands are joined can we see the supernatural take place. Amen. And that's what we desire. We've got to have the supernatural take place. We've got to differ ourselves. We've got to set ourselves apart from all of these other churches. And today, even as I was praying and fighting some things, there are things that you cannot even imagine that a preacher would have to fight. But just fighting these things, and I'm praying these things, and almost feeling intimidated or even embarrassed to pray some of these things, and just trying to find the balance of a church, trying to find the balance hands to be able to help people and saying, God, we want a spiritual church. We want a supernatural church. We want the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church. And I'll be first to confess and to tell you, there are 9 gifts, not 2. There are 9 gifts, but we really major on a lot of 2 of the gifts, and that is the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. And I want tongues involved in this church, and I want interpretation in this church. And I remember very, 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 very vividly one night in Colorado Springs as Bishop Johnson was on the platform and Elder D.C. Moody was preaching that night, and a strong move of the Holy Ghost came in about the place, and Brother Moody gave forth tongues, and there was an individual that began to give forth the interpretation, and Brother Moody shut him down. And he was in control. He was the authority that was in control. And Brother Moody shut him down. And then Brother Moody walked over. This is the way that it needs to be. Brother Moody walked over and stood right beside Bishop Johnson, sitting there in his chair. And the church was quiet and silent. And Brother Moody gave forth tongues again. And this same man started trying to give forth the interpretation. It was almost, It was actually comical. Brother Moody had given the tongues and the interpretation as it was coming forth. The man said something along the lines of, if you have the faith of my servant Abraham, and Brother Moody shut him off. And tongues came forth the second time, and interpretation, the man started coming about, and he figured if he is a little bit more loud that maybe Brother Moody didn't hear him the first time. And so he said, if you have the faith of my servant Abraham, Brother Moody shut him down, and tongues came forth the third time, and this man came forth, wanted to come forth again, and he got shut down, and so everybody was just like gun shy, I guess is the best word, and nobody was, I ain't about to say anything, Brother Moody will shut me down too, and so everybody just kind of, and everybody's wondering and stuff. So we got to ministerial class that Monday night, and all of us young ministers, we were sitting there in the class and wondering, and Bishop Johnson walks into the classroom and he takes his books and he kind of throws them out there on the desk, and he turns around and he looks at us with that look that he can give and that finger that he points. And he turned around and he looked at us and he said it just like this: if some of you would start desiring spiritual gifts, we wouldn't have a bunch of that goofiness that went on last night. And it causes us to stop and to think about it. And as he said this, if some of us would desire spiritual gifts, we wouldn't have some of that goofiness that went on last night. And that is the Bible. Now, the Bible tells us that we ought to seek the best gifts. And it really did not give. And I've given much pause and study into it. But it was written unto the church. It was written to the saints in general. And to the saints as a whole. Not just to a particular sex or anything. It was written to the church. And he said, amen, that we should ask of God and seek diligently for the best gifts. Amen. Praise God. And when you seek for these gifts, there's nothing wrong with asking God to use you, and that you would make yourself available to the kingdom of God so that God would be able to use you. And as we begin to progress through, amen, these 9 gifts, we'll set the boundaries and the parameters of them, because that's what Paul did. Amen. Through the entire 12th and 13th and 14th chapter of the book of Corinthians. Amen. Paul established this doctrine, and he established the rules that goes with it. Amen. Even to the point that he said the one that is in the chair, amen, the seat of authority, has got the final say in it. And that if there is no interpretation, that the elders can join together and can talk about it and then go. But until then, he said, let the church
church be silent and pray to themselves and such. So there are boundaries. There are ways that we do these things. But we must never fear these things to the place, amen, that we don't make ourselves available to the use of God. And that the tools that God has given unto the church just stay in the toolbox and are never used. God has given them to the church for a purpose, and that purpose is for such a time as this.
Such a time as this, and they're necessary. Amen. And I know what the colloquial saying is, and what the general world and the religious world want to say is everybody's got their own gifts. And they have used these verses here, amen, to state that all do not speak with tongues. Amen. But that tongues, I'm not saying that it's wrong, but tongues is a gift of the Spirit, and not everybody has the gift of the Spirit. Even as Paul said, do all speak with tongues? Amen. And so they confuse these things. But I want to take you to the faith part of it. Amen. He said that faith was one of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And so we need to pray and seek for the gift of faith. And is everybody going to have the gift of faith? Probably not. But yet the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. So there is a difference. You got to have the faith, which is the gospel. You got to have the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith to please God, to walk by faith and not by sight. But there is also the gift of faith. Three levels, three tiers, three different things of faith. Amen. But everybody that receives the Holy Ghost is going to speak with other tongues. But it doesn't mean that everybody has got the gift of tongues. I don't want to hear, well, somebody has the gift of tongues and somebody has the gift of music and this person has the gift of writing, and this person's got the gift of gab, and this person's got the gift of teaching, and the gift of ministry, and all of these, and before you know it, everybody's got a gift, but nobody has the gift of the Spirit. We got to get back to the Bible. We got to get back to the way that God intended for it to be, and when we get there, it will bring edification unto the church.
Let's stand here tonight.
Edification to the church. Spiritual gifts, not natural, not conjured up. I don't care what all the goofiness that has gone on. I've heard of so much goofiness that has gone on. And it is a shame. Evangelists going through the church and praying during while everybody else is at work. And going through the church Bibles and picking up Bibles. And seeing that Hunter Pope sits right here and this is his Bible. And seeing that so-and-so sits over here and this is their Bible. And then when they get to preaching, they call forth the name. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I just feel Hunter Pope, you're in this building here tonight and you need to hear from God. And it was, whoa, how does he know me? He don't know me. He read your Bible name in your Bible earlier today. That's how. All kinds of things happen like that. We was in a Pentecostal service one time, and there was so much goofiness that happened under the guise of the gift of healing. A man stood up and began to prophesy about things and such. Everybody needs healing. Told this one individual, he said, you're suffering in your body. You got problems, you got issues. You're suffering in your body. God's going to heal them. God's going to take care of them. God's going to do it. She was very thankful and gave God praise. I don't know, but there's another man that's hunched over, and you could tell he's hurting. He's got pain written across his forehead, basically. And you don't have a word for him. Nothing for him. And I know that God heals whom he chooses to heal. And so much of it is a response to faith. But there's a difference in God healing whom He chooses and the gift of healing. When the gift of healing is on operation, people are going to be healed. And so you don't call people to the front and lay hands upon them and pray for them and then tell them, God healed you. The gift of healing was here and God healed you. And now you're in the gift of prophecy. Tell them that God healed you. What did God heal you from? Individual's face, and the guy said, I didn't need anything. I came down here for my wife. These things ought not to be so. But just because that there is such things that do happen, it does not mean that it's all that away. And just because that we have never seen them happen, many of us have seen all of them, but just because that you may not have seen them happen does not mean that they do not exist. And for all of the theological commentators that would state that these things were just as the gospel was established and not necessarily for the church today, what an excuse. What a pitiful excuse. What a pitiful excuse. Because friend, when you've tasted, you've seen, and you've experienced the true power of God and what God can really do, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. And all of this is a work of the Spirit. This is a spiritual entity. This is a spiritual life. So as a pastor, I'm trying to balance all of this out and say, God, I want to somehow or another try to make this relevant to fit our lives and things that we can help. And I just felt rebuked. If you want help with your life in a manner, if I can use that word, in a manner such as that, he'll get you a self-help book. Go attend a Zig Ziglar class. Because this isn't about making you feel good. This isn't an inspirational speech. This isn't a motivational speech that we all come to and we all leave with smiles upon our face. I want you to be smiling when you leave. But this is a spiritual entity. And this is a spiritual life. And this is a spiritual war. And that the reason that you're here today is not so that you can feel better about yourself tomorrow when you go to work. But the reason that you're here today is so that you don't go to hell tomorrow. So that you can make heaven your home. That's why we are here. And as a pastor and as a preacher, I want to help you. I want you to feel better. I want you to be a better individual. And so we will talk about the duties of a Christian. Being a Christian, being Christ-like, and those things can help us. But we cannot separate the work that goes on in the church. We cannot mix it and taint it with worldly measures. If we need to feel better about ourselves and we need to have motivational speeches, then we'll find somebody to bring in. We'll describe it and broadcast it and advertise it as motivational speeches, but we can't advertise it as church. This is about heaven, hell, saved, lost, securing our eternal destination as much as possible. You know, I know we don't believe in eternal security. The only way we believe in eternal security is stay eternally in the church. Amen. Praise God. But other than that, this is about the Spirit speaking expressly. This is about the Spirit getting into our minds and thoughts. This is about God interrupting our lives from the wrong direction. This is about a woman at the well who was secularly drawing water from a well. But God manifest in the flesh came and interrupted her life. This is about a man that was lame, laying by the pool of Bethesda, by the pools of this religious world, expecting healing to come. And the qualifications for healing, the requirements for healing. Well, you got to do this. You got to be the first one in. This is about God walking into that man's life and saying, if you want to be healed, rise up and walk. This is about divine interruption. This is about a demoniac that was messed up in his mind and messed up in his life. And Jesus stepping onto the shores of his life and saying, there's a better way for you. And helping him. Helping him. This is about spiritual things. It's about a church praying, seeking God. And the Holy Ghost falls in the room and everybody is touched. This is about a gospel that's going forth, preaching this same Jesus whom you crucified is now both Lord and Savior, to the place that they would say, what must we do? And this is about giving the answer, not Zig Ziglar's answer, not all these other financial advisors' answers. It's God's answer. You need to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. There's not 21 steps to this. There's not a 7-week process to this. No. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized. That's what this is about. This is about Jesus stepping in. And a word of knowledge coming forth. As Paul stated, I perceive that there's going to be much harm done to this boat. And a word of wisdom coming forth thereafter. What we need to do is just stay in this haven. And then when they wouldn't listen and they did their own thing and the storm tossed them and threw them and broke the place, was breaking the boat, a word of wisdom came forth and Paul said, no, 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 no. You got to stay on the boat. Well, how do you know? It's a word of wisdom. You got to stay on the boat. You got to stay on the boat. And everybody that remained on that boat were saved because of a word of wisdom that Paul used. This is about a gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of prophecy. It's about what God designed for the church because he knew the church would use it. I'm not a plumber. I'm not an electrician. I do have some electrical tools in my toolbox. I have even less plumbing tools in my toolbox. But I probably have just about every drywall framing tool, trim tool, all kinds of tools and such that goes with anything concerning framing and drywall and taping and floating and texturing and finishing and painting and such like that. I got all of that. And God has given the church exactly what we need for such a time as this. And now he's just asking who will make themselves available for the cause. Who will make themselves available. And so that's my question here tonight. Are you willing to be used of God? Are you willing to be used of God? Oh, there's rules, there's regulations. There's boundaries, guidelines, parameters. We're not worried about that. We just need somebody to make themselves available, to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. See, preacher, you're opening yourself up to all... We may be. But just as Bishop Johnson turned and looked at all of us and he said, if some of you would start seeking after God to be used of the Spirit and start asking God, we wouldn't have such goofiness. So let's just seek after it and let God decide. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody willing to be used of God? Oh, I know that these nine gifts are not the only way that you can be used of God, but you can ask God that God would use you to be a witness. Would you make yourself available to the kingdom of God tonight? Would you make yourself available? Would you say, God, here I am. You know my abilities. I'm not limiting you by my abilities, because if you can use anything, if you can use a donkey, then you can use me. Whatever it is, God, I'm just making myself available to your kingdom. And however that you choose to use me, help me. Help me. Help me, oh God. In Jesus' name.